And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we have
Gavin Enslin.
Pastor Gavin Enslin, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics. And this week's hot politics, we are looking at the new emerged government in South Africa. Yes, the government of national unity. We'll be taking a look at what has happened in the last couple of days in terms of the government of national unity and just discussing our thoughts on that. Pascal, do you want to give a more brief explanation?
Yeah, so on the eve of the election for president and for speaker of the National Assembly for South Africa, it started to become apparent that there was a deal between the ANC, the African National Congress, and what till now has been the main opposition, the Democratic Alliance, and also the third biggest party, they're not the third biggest anymore. Mm-hmm. So whatever size they are now, the Inkatha Freedom Party. So the ANC has 159 in the members of the 400-member parliament. The Democratic Alliance has 87 members, and the Inkatha Freedom Party has 17. Now, if you add those together, it's 263 members of the 400-member parliament, which obviously gives them a majority. So then there was news that the Patriotic Alliance was part of it. That's Gayton McKenzie, we've spoken about before, and also a party called the PAC, which is the Pan-Africanist Congress. And so we're going to be discussing this because there's been some disagreement on that, but we'll discuss that in the show. So is this government of national unity going to last? That's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, it's going to be an awesome show, as always, because this is The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
Stay updated, stay entertained with Active FM on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Engage with us, like posts, comment, share them out, retweet, and repost. Spread the word. Active FM. Radio has never been better.
So we are talking about the government of national unity, and the government of national unity basically consists of the following parties. It consists of the ANC. For those outside of South Africa, it's known as the African National Congress, which for a very long time, from 1994 up until this year's elections, was the ruling party in South Africa. And if you've been keeping up with the elections, you'll see that they got about 40% of the votes, which was quite low. I think it's the lowest they've ever had since the 1994 elections. And then the second party is the DA, which is the Democratic Alliance, which for a while has been the main opposition party to the ANC. We've also got the IFP, who is also part of the Government of National Unity. We've got the Patriotic Alliance, which is also part of the GNU, and we've got the Good Party that are part of the Government of National Unity. And on the 17th of June, the ANC published a statement updating the nation on the parties representing the National Assembly who intended to form part of the government agreement. This gives the GNU, so they basically sit about 68% of the seats, the 400 seats in the National Assembly. And this gives the Government of National Unity a supermajority in the National Assembly, where a two-thirds majority is needed to make sweeping changes like changing the country's constitution. Notably, the ANC would also have to just be able to hit this target, would also have just been able to hit this target had it aligned with the so-called progressive bloc compromising the MK Party and the EFF, among others, which would have resulted in 265 seats in the National Assembly. But obviously they didn't. Those are the five, I will call them the big five of South Africa at the moment. So what are your thoughts in terms of the parties that make part of the national government of national unity, and what have you seen in the media that has basically gotten us to ask this question, will it last?
Okay, well, first of all, there was actually an interview with a lady named Helen Ziller, who some time ago used to actually be the leader of the Democratic Alliance. She's now the chair of the Federal Council, whatever. So she'd be the equivalent of the ANC Secretary General. She's the Federal Chair of the Democratic Alliance. And so there was discussions on SABC, which is the Savian Broadcasting Corporation, where the Secretary General of the ANC, Fikile Mbalula, was saying that two parties, the one is Giggs's favorite, the Patriotic Alliance, and the other is the Pan-Africanist Congress, have joined the Government of National Unity along with the IFP, Inkatha Freedom Party, and the DA and the ANC. And she came on after Fikile Mbalula and saying the principle is that no conversations have taken place. And so there's an agreement in, I think, Clause 24 of the coalition agreement that if you want to add new members, it's got to have sufficient consensus. Mm-hmm. Now, what they're talking about is that requires 60%, of the Government of National Unity votes in the National Assembly. I'm not sure, exactly what that 60% is. So, Giggs, I don't know if you've got the thing in front of you there.
The
agreement.
The preamble.
Well, but just the agreement that either they must have success, consensus or sufficient consensus.
Let me just see what I have. I have the statement of intent open.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back to this.
But basically what's going to happen is that we're going to sit there and they're going to have a meeting, and then they're going to go into the National Assembly and they're all going to vote together. Mm. So what Helen Zille is saying is that to change anything, then you need 60% of those in the National Assembly. Now, I'm not 100% sure, are they meaning 60% of the seats that the GNU has? So, in other words, if you take that 60% as a total of all the seats, in the National Assembly.
Yeah.
So, if you do a calculation, for example, when you take the 263, and this is where we first need to do the maths, and you divide that by 400, 263 is 65%. Of the total votes.
Yeah.
So if you take it that you need 60% of the seats held by the Government of National Unity parties, then the ANC alone has 60%.
Yeah. So here it says, while I'm waiting for the agreement to load and stuff, I'm reading through the statement of intent, and under the section that says modalities of the Government of National Unity, it says here that in I think point number four, It's point number four that says sufficient consensus exists when all parties have had the opportunity to express their views, despite reasonable attempts to resolve disagreements and find common ground. There is no general consensus. Parties to the GNU representing 60% of seats in the National Assembly agree.
Okay, and so what that means is you've got to have 60% of the seats.
Yeah.
Okay.
And and any party that disagrees has been able to formally record their objections. So that's what it says there.
So in other words, there's 263 seats in total.
Yeah.
So sufficient consensus is if 240 of those 263 members agree.
Yes.
That's sufficient consensus.
Yes. That's what they're saying.
So you can't get sufficient consensus without either the ANC or the DA.
Yeah.
Because 263 minus 87, that's about 176.
Mm.
Okay, so both the ANC and the DA have to agree.
Yes. So I think that's why she's upset at the fact that...
Well, she's not upset. She's saying they can't do it.
Okay, not upset, agreement. Yeah, but... Yeah. Okay. According to the agreement.
So now the ANC wants to welcome the PA and the Patriotic Alliance and the Pan-Africanist Congress on board. And she's saying, no, the ANC can't do that without the DA.
Mm, so that's basically. And one of the things she mentioned also was that they're used to calling the shots. And obviously with the government of national unity, they can't be the ones that are calling the shots, basically. So that's one of the things. And then I found an article that speaks about, I think we can go through this and get your thoughts on that, six reasons a GNU will not last 5 years in South Africa.
Who wrote that?
So this is an article on BizNews. It was released on the 13th of June, 2024. The first
okay,
one.
Okay, but that obviously came out then last week, Thursday.
Yeah.
So prior to the whole... happening in the National Assembly last week, Friday.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So the first one is coalition chaos. Politics in the central and provincial spheres of government are different from those in the rough and tumble of municipalities, but it would be silly to pretend that the coalition instability we have seen in municipal councils will not at least occasionally reproduce itself in other government spheres, or that the GNU would be exempt. The fact that South Africa is not used to coalition politics and lacks the political maturity that makes them sustainable. So what are your thoughts on that?
Do you think South Africans lack the political maturity?
No, I don't think so.
I think that's quite insulting.
Yeah.
Who wrote that in the BizNews? Who's the author?
Martin van Staden.
Martin van Staden.
Yes.
Okay. Martin, I disagree with you. I don't think that maturity issue is the issue.
Mm.
The thing is, at the end of the day, what are you saying? Those European coalitions are mature. The ones who want to cancel all the farmers and, you know, who have allowed significant demographic shifts to take place in Europe at the expense of the local people.
Mm.
So, I don't agree that it's immature. Will it last? What do you think?
I feel like for the next with the next year or year and a half, there might be a lot of tension. If not tension, there might be a lot of back and forth. Obviously, especially when we look at the fact that DA and the ANC are... When we look at the fact that DA and the ANC have been the biggest opposition parties amongst each other and things like that. And they have, in a sense, but not in a big sense, different views of certain issues and things like that. So I think that there might, when we think about coalition chaos, it might be because of that. Just the fact that different parties are coming together and they want things to happen differently. Not saying that they want different things to happen, because most of them stand for the same thing. It's just that how they plan and whatever for it to happen will cause a bit of tension. But to say that is the reason why it won't last 5 years, I agree with the fact that this author underestimates South Africans.
Yeah, and also, I mean, for me, having these guys fighting in Parliament is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's not a problem for the country. And I don't mean the fake fights that happened with the EFF.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about real grappling with real issues and the debate bursting forth in the public sphere and not just happening behind closed doors in caucuses.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a great thing.
Yeah. The second one is weak business community. It might be true that many, perhaps most ordinary people favor a GNU, but the strongest impetus for the GNU is coming from the local and international business community. If South African big business is the strongest element in the potential success of whatever plan you are cooking up, you're in trouble. In this country, political access and social compacting by big business has yielded them exactly nothing of substance. The influence they carry is notable, but it is not deep-reaching, primarily because big business refuses, almost as if in principle, to press their advantage and extract significant concessions. They demand things, and a reassurance is usually enough to make them back down. So what I'm getting from here is that he's saying that the GNU, we will not get as much investments, I guess, whether it is coming from local or international big companies. I'm not sure if that's what you got from that as well.
Yeah. So what he's saying is that because it's supported by business, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah. Look, obviously business favors the DAANC thing.
Yeah.
And then you've got the so-called Progressive Alliance thing that's standing against it with Jacob Zuma's Umkhonto Sizwe and Julius Malema's EFF.
Mm.
But what I'm seeing at this point from the interactions I've had with people, where black or white, the majority seem to favor this.
Yeah.
This sort of arrangement.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And if the ANC, I maintain, if the ANC goes into coalition with either the EFF or Umkhonto Sizwe, where they're finished. They're absolutely finished. The coalition could greatly hurt both the ANC and the DA.
Yeah.
Or it could make both of them stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen with that, but if the ANC went into partnership with the EFF or the MK, it's the end of the ANC.
Yeah.
That I'm convinced of. So, what they're saying is the interests of business don't align with the interests of the people.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Well, that might be true, and there are times when that is true.
Mm.
But it's not necessarily true.
Do you think that it would cause it not to last 5 years?
I don't think that will cause it not to last 5 years.
Yeah. Okay. And then
not the business thing, no.
Yeah. And then the third one is opposition can't handle the heat. Peter du Toit has argued that the DA is on the verge of a complete re-engineering of its political mechanics and philosophy if it can agree to terms with the ANC. He further notes that the DA's coalition talks framework is largely based on the main tenets of existing ANC government policy. This is evident from the framework document itself, where all the so-called a federalist party could say about decentralization is, we'll have to talk about devolution sometime, I guess.
Look, the DA doesn't have enough support to force it.
Mm.
Because as the South African constitution stands right now, to create further devolution of power and to make South Africa further a more federal country is going to require a change in the constitution.
Yeah.
And the DA doesn't have the votes for that. So, and obviously the DA has to fit to some extent within the ANC policy framework.
Yeah.
So the ANC is not obviously going to get everything that they want, but they're still 40% of the vote.
Hmm.
They're still only 10 or 10 point something percent short. In fact, 10% short. If they get 10% more vote, they'd have the asset majority, they'd be able to rule on their own. So the thing is, now looking at that, the DA must know that a lot of the policy framework is going to be the ANC's.
Yeah, yeah. I also agree with that, But I also think that as they get used to working with each other, which they have been working with each other, if you have to think about it, but as they get used to running the country with each other, there will be certain things that will change and they will have to adjust to each other. So to say that, I personally don't think that a person can define how the outcome of the GNU in the next 5 years now, because there's a lot, there's going to be a lot of fights. There's going to be a lot of decisions where people will not be happy and things like that. But if they really are for the people, as they say,
they'll make it last.
They will make it last, yeah. The fourth one is blood is thicker than water. And here it says, on the other hand, if at any point during the GNU's existence, the DA is pressed into a corner, not likely by the fantasy... pressed into a corner, I'm not sure what he wrote there, that the NC is pressed into a corner that requires it to engage in real policy reform or abandon corruption, it will begin looking for a way out. That way out is perhaps best represented by the low-hanging fruit of a tie-up with the weakened EFF and the Patriotic Alliance. Both of these parties have expressed their willingness to form a coalition with the ANC already. What are your thoughts on that?
I predicted ANC, EFF, Patriotic Alliance 2 weeks ago. Paul Mashele, he was on the State of the Nation with Mark Shem.
Mm-hmm.
And, he has a different view to that. He reckons, look, he says it's a marriage. Any marriage can blow up.
Mm.
But he thinks they're going to make it work. The DA knows that if they really push the ANC on certain matters, that the ANC could go to the EFF and the Patriotic Alliance.
Mm.
And with those two, Patriotic Alliance will go with him. And the EFF will go with him. And that'll be enough to get them past 50%.
Yeah.
So the ANC doesn't have to go with the DA. So with the position that the DA is in a way, I think it does help the ANC. But, they'll be able to push him so far, no further.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, there are some rather high-profile ANC officials and even the Speaker of Parliament that had to resign, as a Speaker of Parliament due to the fact that she was being charged by the National Prosecuting Authority.
Yeah.
So the ANC within them has a step-aside rule that if someone gets charged, they have to step aside. The reality is there are people within the ANC that are being charged, and that could derail things, but there's also a chance that it won't.
Yeah.
So I don't, what they're saying could happen, but I reckon the odds are maybe slightly in the favor that it won't, not for that reason.
Okay. And then the fifth one is municipal elections. South Africa will undergo municipal elections in 2026, which in the years past primarily pitched the ANC against the DA. There are rumors that the GNU agreement will include cooperation with at the municipal level, but it seems unlikely that either of these parties will lack an appetite to campaign against the other for the immense benefit that a win is in big municipalities could represent their future fortunes.
Yeah, 2026, for me, that is the biggest test that the GNU is going to face.
Yeah.
I think the results of those elections, I don't think the campaigning is going to change anything. But, depending on what happens with the outcome of those elections, that could change things.
Mm.
So, for example, maybe the ANC finds themselves with considerably less support than what they have now. And that they pick up that it's because of their partnership with the DA, they might then abandon it, or vice versa.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think it's going to stay stable until then.
Mm.
And then it's going to be tested.
Mm. That's a good one, yeah. And then the last one, a fake unity government. Finally, let us not forget that South Africa did have a government of national unity in the 1990s already, and it collapsed within 2 years of its formation. The reason it collapsed could also be the reason this GNU will collapse. It was not really a government of national unity.
Yeah, you know, that's posh. That statement is nonsense as far as I'm concerned. First of all, after 1994 election, there was a government of national unity. And the purpose of that government of national unity was to write a new constitution.
Yeah.
That government of national unity delivered on that.
Yeah.
On that constitution. And then an argument broke out between the National Party at the time and the ANC over a thing called the Truth and Early Reconciliation Commission.
Mm.
And at that point, F.W. de Klerk and the National Party resigned from the government of national unity. But however, people like the IFP remained.
Mm.
So it didn't totally collapse. Just the National Party left the government of national unity at that time.
Yeah.
This is a totally different situation.
Mm.
Because in that instance, the ANC had well over 60% of the seats in parliament. I think they had about close to 65%, if I'm not mistaken. And therefore, they did not need the others. Mm. They could do what they wanted. And with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, there was no consensus. The National Party was 1,000% against it, and the ANC was 1,000% for it. The ANC went ahead and roughshod the whole thing and just did it. And so the National Party left the government of national unity. But there's one key difference now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at that time, the ANC probably had about 65% of the vote and 65% therefore of the seats in parliament. I think it was close to 300 seats, maybe in excess of 300 seats. It was a lot of seats that they had. Now, the ANC's got 159 seats. They don't have a majority.
Mm.
They every piece of legislation, every budget they want to pass, everything they want to do, they cannot do it on their own. They don't have the votes. And so there's a huge difference between this state of affairs and that one, because now, in order to remain in government, the ANC needs the help of others.
Yeah.
Whereas in the 1990s, they did not. They were able to just ride roughshod and do whatever they want, and other parties could do what they want. And if they left the government of national unity, so be it. But the thing is, things continued as normal. Now, there's no such guarantee that things will continue as normal.
Yeah. So when we look at...
So what is your thought on that?
So I don't know much about the government of national unity then after 1994, but then everyone knows that ANC was ruling majority at that point. It was a no-brainer.
Yeah, they could do what they wanted.
Yeah, and
so you can have a government of national unity as long as the other guys agree with you.
Yeah.
If they don't agree with you, you can just let them walk.
Yeah. And also, based on what you were saying now, the whole purpose, when we look at the two, when we compare the two, the purpose of that is obviously to bring in the new South Africa from going from...
And to write the constitution.
Yeah, going from a nation that was apartheid to a nation that was more open and not segregated and things like that. So obviously, they needed to hear both sides or all the sides.
Well, they needed to pass that constitution with a two-thirds majority.
Yeah.
So... And the ANC didn't have two-thirds of the seats.
Yeah.
So they needed the National Party for that.
Yeah. And then now when we look at it, it's a thing of, in order for the country to run, we need the government of national unity, if you have to think of it that way. And stuff like that. Because obviously the people voted, and the people were not happy with the ANC, and the people were not happy with the DA. Obviously, they were not happy with most of the people. That's why the votes are just so dispersed and whatever and things like that. So now you're having to form a government of national unity to make the people happy so that the government can represent what the people want. So well, I also disagree.
40% voted for the ANC, which means, and it's 40-point-something%, which means 59-point-something% voted against the ANC. They voted for other parties.
Yeah.
So therefore, 59-point-something% of the seats in parliament are not ANC seats.
Yep. Yeah. So obviously then now in order to form, the reason they formed the government is completely different to the reason they formed the government after 1994.
Yeah.
So to put that down as a reason why it won't last for 5 years, obviously, the person didn't do enough research. This author has
failed.
we
marked the exam. Failed.
This author has definitely failed the exam, But now, looking at what obviously this author has said, and looking at what people are saying in terms of the GNU, there are people that are excited. I think majority are excited for the government of national unity and stuff. What are your thoughts in terms of, do you think it's going to last? Do you think we just need to wait a bit? We need to gather more data to see whether or not it's going to last. What are your final thoughts?
I don't have a clue. Okay. When I listened to Helen Zille's statements on, was it the night before the inauguration, Tuesday night? I don't know. It could last. The thing for me, what's going to get in the way could be egos.
Yeah.
You know, it's plain and simple, egos. On a lot of issues, I think that the ANC has been forced to eat humble pie. I'm not sure if the Democratic Alliance has eaten humble pie. You know, because the Democratic Alliance also likes to try and rule things, you know, without consideration of other parties if they don't have a majority.
Yeah.
And you can't. If you don't have a majority, you can't rule the roost. You've got to come to agreements, you've got to compromise, and you've got to work with whatever you can get agreement on. And there's less stuff that you can do. That's just how it is. So egos can get in the way.
Yeah.
Are they going to get in the way? I'll tell you in 2 years' time. But I do think if there's a substantial change in support after the 2026 local government elections, to me at this point, that's the biggest threat to the government of national unity is what happens with those results, because that could cause this thing to fall apart.
I totally agree, and I think that the whole thing with the egos and stuff, we've seen it. It's just how will they resolve their issues. It's actually going to be a very interesting journey. Yes. The next 5 years is going to be a very interesting journey to see what happens with the government of national unity. In Psalm 107, verse 13 to 14, it says, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains."
The message that we've been giving on a consistent basis, and we'll probably start focusing on the US elections after this week, maybe in the next 2 weeks or so, because that's the next big election that's going to take place. And then there's also the elections in Great Britain on the 4th of July. So Britain's holding elections on the 4th of July. But, you know, looking at the situation in South Africa, there is no political solution to many of the problems. The church is the solution. And the church is the solution because the church is the house of God. And the Lord is the one, you know, that will solve the problems that need to be solved. So my advice is to turn to the Lord. Stop hoping that politicians are going to solve everything and move to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. This has been an amazing, amazing show, as always, because this is the political show right here on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl, Cynthia, but you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we have
Gavin Enslin.
Pastor Gavin Enslin, right here on the political show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.